B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, rectum.
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Don Ferret Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. You can watch us on twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Plenty of Patriot stuff coming up. We'll have Ted Johnson in the studio from 7 to 8, Bob Sosian at 9. The MTV Video Music Awards were last night, and I only know because I just saw that Conor McGregor and Machine Gun Kelly got into it.
So I guess the story is that Conor McGregor, who's still using like a cane, I believe, he wanted a photo with Machine Gun Kelly.
Who wouldn't?
And, well, I mean, obviously.
He's the Kid Kelly.
He's the savior of rock and roll.
I mean, he gets Travis Barker out there.
Oh.
And it's a punk rock jamboree. His songs are just like, yeah, man.
Yep. He's
you're hitting all the right notes. Nah. He's got that babe on his arm. Yowza.
You seen that alternative rock category they got going there? Oh, yeah. I think one best alternative artist.
Of course he's alternative. Kelly. He's got tattoos all to and fro.
Alternative to good music.
Alternative to just, kids, get tattoos all over your body. You got a one in five shot.
What could possibly go wrong?
You got a four times out of five it could go wrong, or one time out of five you could make it.
He's just one of those guys that, you know, in like 3 years he's going to be a punchline. Like,
yes.
And you see this all the time. Like, people get blown up, and then you know that it's just people are going to look back and go, "Oh my God, what was the world thinking about this dude?"
Yes,
it was like pop culture insisted on him. But that being said, Conor McGregor wanted an autograph, or not an autograph. He wanted to get a picture with him.
Yeah,
and I guess that Machine Gun Kelly's crew did not want anything to do with that.
If you,
and that pissed off Conor McGregor plenty.
I'll tell you, you know, Rich and I have been to award shows before, you know, not as anything, just as spectators. But I've never seen so many people in my entire life. I mean, these things are a joke now. I mean, the Conor McGregor, and we'll get to the Patriots. Believe me, we'll talk about it all morning for the most part. But the amount of people, Rich, out there, I mean, it used to be like when Vince Neil and who did he get into it with? Axl Rose or Sebastian Bach got into it with Vince Neil or something happened.
Oh, I forget.
Something happened, but there was an actual punch to the face.
Yeah.
Like backstage at the VMAs, there was a fight. It might have been Bret Michaels hit Vince Neil, but regardless. And then Vince Neil said, "I'll show you. I'm going to drink myself silly the next 20 years."
I just imagine the fist hitting Vince Neil's stomach and the fist getting stuck.
Yeah.
Like, ah, ah,
this was feel-good era before the metabolism completely stopped.
Okay. All right.
But I believe it was the feel-good the last time they would have been on. But nonetheless, so, but the amount of people, I mean, I swear to God, there's what would you say, Rich? 100 security for every two?
And what's always hysterical celebs? Is when you take a look at the level of celebrity and you equate it to how many like entourage security guys they have around them, it's usually the people who would need it the least,
yeah,
who have the most security. Like, I mean, you've seen it before. I bet Dave Grohl is probably one of the biggest stars there. They got some, like, icon award. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, the they Foo got Fighters an award? Well, award. The government requires that the Foo Fighters have
is that
to get...
written in yeah. now?
Any yeah. kind of award show. It doesn't have to be about music. It could be, like, just honestly, like the local folk art awards.
Yeah,
and the Foo Fighters will be there.
Yeah, they're like, we started in 1982. Here's one for the people over 40. Tip of the cap.
Oh,
there
yeah.
you go. The Foo Fighters are our generation's Rolling Stone.
So arguably, Dave Grohl is probably one of the yes. biggest stars that's there.
Right.
And, you know, he's not being seen with like a ton of no. security. He's probably walking around with his daughter. But you see some guy who shows up who's got like one single that's on radio right now, and they've got a million different people around.
But the
them.
Problem is that like sometimes these guys, because, you know, I'll check out Complex, like these guys in... Some of these rap dudes are really get killed. Like
yeah.
Jack Harlow's DJ got shot at some club in Kentucky or Cincinnati or something. So it's a shame because they need the security. But if you ever wanted to know where someone's money goes, I mean, a security detail for that evening of 10, you're paying, you know, $5,000 to get that thing going.
I've told the story before, but I remember on back-to-back days at a station I used to work for, when I was in Dallas, the day before, this guy, this rapper named Baby Bash, said, "Sugar, why'd you get so fly?" Which was like a one-hit wonder hit. And maybe
sure.
he's got more, I don't know. But believe it or not, Top 40 was huge. But it was, he came and he had, I think we counted 5 different security guys with him. And then the manager... along with that, and then his friends. But there were 5 different guys. One guy was standing outside the studio and kind of looking around, keeping things clear. And as far as I don't know, he doesn't have any kind of like beef or whatever at the time. And then the very next day, Mark Cuban shows up by himself. Mark Cuban is worth like $6 billion at the time, showed up, drove himself there, walked there on his own, and had nobody. Whereas that guy's probably, you know, Baby Bash is probably in debt. You've got like Mark Cuban, who, you know, you literally could probably like kidnap the guy and you know, try. There's a million things you could do, but he didn't have anybody. But then again, with $6 billion, you could probably afford to have like invisible ninjas hiding in the trees and stuff.
So. I just never would drive. I wouldn't want the liability. Like Letterman used to drive himself in from like Westchester into Manhattan every day. I'd be like, who wants that liability?
Yeah. I know. Letterman's like driving a beat up pickup truck and all that stuff.
Oh, no. Letterman. If he drove a beat up pickup truck, it was a vintage pickup truck. Letterman, big fan of the automobile.
Although Mark Cuban loved to embrace that I'm just a regular Joe type persona, despite having billions of dollars. He used to go, there was this hole in the wall bar that was called the Loon, and he used to go after games with members of the Dallas Mavericks.
And a bunch of wrestlers. He would go to the Loon.
It's a different Loon.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Same with me.
Not that Loon.
He went to the Loon.
Wow. That's a cool guy.
Well, I would think that if he lived here, that's where he would go. That would be his version of the Loon in Dallas. It would be the Cow Loon,
nice.
Instead, where he would hang out up there. But that was his big thing, is he loved being known as like a regular guy.
He basically made, to get as rich as he is, he made one deal, right?
So it was Broadcast.com, which was basically the first streaming of radio stations program or like app that you could have. And he was like he wanted to be able to go and listen to radio stations all around the country. So he went to a bunch of radio stations, got their rights to be on Broadcast.com. And think about how basic that sounds now. It's just radio stations. And then he ended up selling it to Yahoo for, I think it was like $4 billion.
Okay, so, and I think he did that relatively, he did that, I think, when he was 29 or 30, right?
Yeah, and immediately bought the Mavericks after that.
So that's the thing, is that if you've got like the one deal,
yep,
you haven't really developed the old money. I mean, I'd like to see what Mark Cuban's like now, that his stature has raised so much.
I still think that he embraces that. Like, he wants to be known as, like, the guy you'll see out at a restaurant. Just, any like, the sleeveless Maverick shirt-wearing guy.
Yeah.
Now, it's not like You see, I think that there's kind of like trying to be that guy, and then there's people like Mark Davis who just are that guy.
Well, yeah, who's going to hurt Mark Davis? I know. Like, so pure.
You talk about driving everywhere you go, when you got a sweet conversion van like Mark Davis does. Yeah.
Plus, they have to add on a bunch of offenses if you do something to him based on his mental capacity. I mean, there's like a whole lot of...
It's a rider involved?
Well, no.
He shows up?
It's like a hate crime or something.
We didn't talk about it because we were out of town, but did you see the house that he's building for himself in Las Vegas?
Yeah. Star Wars.
Darth Vader's lair, except for real.
I'd like to get to that because we weren't able to while you guys were gone.
There's not much to say about it except that he's building this huge house, and I want to know what liquid assets he has. Is what I want to know. Is he just constantly borrowing against the Raiders, or is... It's got to be what I imagine.
The money's buried in a treasure chest out in his backyard.
Yeah, just exactly. Because his dad, you know, was a football coach who got into the AFL and then, you know, made all this money. But, like, in terms of liquid assets.
Oh, liquid assets. I have invested in Beanie Babies.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Late night television.
But you still
QVC.
You still have to sell those. It's just funny that he's building this huge house. I'm like, where's all this money? I mean, I know he's worth a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It's just that you have to get hold of the assets and be able to transfer them to someone else. So I'm not sure how that high finance works. But nonetheless, week one, I spent the 1 o'clock games on my phone, watching them on my phone as I was out in beautiful Waltham at a baseball park. And then I watched the Patriot game at home.
I
couldn't take it no longer.
The storylines from all of yesterday's games. I mean, the NFL is drunk. There was some stuff that happened yesterday, and I'm telling you,
there's so much for home field advantage.
Oh yeah,
so much for defense in a lot of places,
and so much
for Urban Meyer,
and so much
for the Jets' offensive line.
Outside of the Patriots, and we're going to get into all this later on. The two stories I'm going to be keeping my eye on the most is the implosion of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
And Aaron Rodgers. That is going to be...
Give it up to the bankroll boys.
Fascinating.
Give it up to the bankroll boys.
Yep.
Saying he was going to pull the Brady. It looks that way.
Mm-hmm. Brady in his last year with the Patriots and just seeming uninterested.
Yeah. Right. And meanwhile, Urban Meyer pulled a Matt Patricia. Although it might have been quicker than Matt Patricia. It's close.
Well, let's not go crazy. It could only be a tie. And a tie is bad. So
yes, it is.
You can be as bad as Matt Patricia.
Yes.
But let's not go crazy.
Well, we both agree he's as bad as Matt Patricia. The question is, how does Jacksonville do from now on?
Yeah, and it might be worse in a way because Patricia never had... Patricia had Stafford, but he never... Well, he had a first overall pick, I guess.
Well, he's also got the pressure of potentially ruining an amazing player.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's, I mean, you want
to be honest, I saw none of that game.
I did.
That was the game I had no interest in. I saw Dan Campbell go for it on consecutive fourth downs.
Even though they lost, you can't crap on the Lions.
Oh,
today.
Yeah. You can really crap on the Lions.
I thought they played hard.
Yeah. Okay. You saw the end of the game.
I saw the highlights.
Yeah. You saw
the
highlights.
I didn't watch the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah. He went for it on the first two fourth downs, and they converted neither. Then they missed a field goal.
One was really ugly, by the way. One of the fourth down attempts. Really ugly.
Now, I know it was a miracle at the end.
Yep.
However, if he had coached like a normal person, the game would have been tied. Or they just would have needed a field goal to win.
It's going to backfire on him. But if you are a Lions fan today, you're not pissed.
It didn't. It sort of backfired on him because
if you're a Lions fan, you know, now you're not even worried about wins. You're just worried about it looking good, correct?
You're one score away from beating a team that many people like this year, the 49ers. They got their issues too.
He mismanaged that game.
Of course he did.
But you don't understand. With every good break they got, they could have won the game
if
he would not have mismanaged it so poorly in the first half.
Yep. Agreed. But that's Dan Campbell. Balls out. Go get him.
Yeah, but that's not good.
But
if you're a Lions fan, under no means are you excited. I mean, you had a miracle at the end. I mean, Jared Goff's a serviceable NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they looked awful for forever. And they were fine in the beginning, and then he mismanaged everything.
And then they had that amazing comeback.
And then they had 3 minutes of very good football, or very lucky football, and then it didn't pan out. But no, I don't think Dan Campbell covered himself in glory. Sewell, I guess, is okay. Better than Becton. All right, we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
All right, football fans, you got your fix yesterday. And Rich, it was a big day in Gillette. They'd be shooting off the guns and everything else.
The Patriot ladies, that's right. They did a little segment on one of them at the beginning.
They did?
That. Oh, yes, the Patriot ladies that be shooting out the guns, as Brandon Merriweather said, and I just started laughing myself, and my wife said, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "What do you think?" And she said, "Oh, is it the Patriot ladies that are shooting at the guns?"
Said, your wife said
yeah,
that to you?
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And so she, even she knows. Every time I see that, I have to laugh. Well,
one of the Patriot ladies.
He'll be on this week, as a matter of fact, Wednesday.
Oh, who knows what he'll say. Yeah. Or if he'll call.
Or if he'll call. I was about to say, it's kind of you know, up in the air. He calls when he's not supposed to, and sometimes doesn't call.
It's
when
a very odd 10-week schedule with him we have.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's a lot for him to juggle.
So just, I think Wednesdays around 8 o'clock, we just hold our breath one way or the other.
But is it every week or not?
No, it's 10 weeks.
10 okay. weeks.
It's a 17-week season.
Okay. We know we're going to have him on this week, hopefully. It's supposed to be. And then off a week. And then on before the Brady week and then after the Brady week.
Okay.
So that's the current schedule right now.
All right.
So 3 out of the next 4 weeks, hopefully, will be a Merriweather Wednesday.
Great.
We shall see. Well, yesterday, the Pats had it until they didn't.
Myers to the right. Give to Damien Harris. Runs it right. Okay. And he bruises his way forward. Ball came loose. Damien Harris fumbled. He got to the 8-yard line. The Dolphins say they have it.
Oh, my God.
Damien Harris rammed into a defender. And the ball popped free. Miami has it.
It was as un-Belichick-like a loss as you could have. Sloppy play, costly turnovers in a game
Fingers were all over it.
I'm telling you, he's infected the team. It was there for the taking, only to be fumbled away. The Patriots lose by one. The team fumbled the ball 4 times, lost 2 of them. They committed 8 penalties for 84 yards to Miami's 5 for 28. Now, that's not to say that the team didn't have their moments. As a matter of fact, I think we were all looking for the moment that Tua would give us a gem like this.
Tua works from the gun back to his right. 3 receivers left as he takes the snap. Drops back, looking to his right. Now flush to his left. In trouble. Loses his footing.
Loses his footing.
The ball up for grabs. And it's going to be intercepted along the far side. Jonathan Jones was there for the Patriots. Does he have it? He does. Interception forced by the pressure with Uche and Judon.
Judon
harassing Tagovailoa.
Well, the best part of that play was how Judon just left his feet. Just Tua was in the air.
Tua didn't lose his footing. Tua got absolutely destroyed.
Well, I think Tua was tripping backwards, and that's when Judon just laid
regardless,
into him.
He was hit with great force. And what's funny about that pass is, as ill-advised as it was, Miami had 2 chances to catch that ball.
Yeah.
I mean,
deflected off Gesicki's chest on the first pinball.
No,
and
the second.
Then to Jones. Jones caught it
tight end in the chest. It hit 2 Miami players.
Right. That's what I'm saying. On the second one.
Oh, on the second one, yeah. Gesicki, it fell right into his hands.
And it bounced off his chest to Jones.
Yeah. So, as ill advised as a pass, and I would not write it up. And before the show, you and I were talking about how that Tua situation is just no good.
I know we're going to talk a ton about Mac Jones. Let's just focus on Tua for these 30 seconds. I'm the Miami Dolphins. I'm expected to go to the playoffs. You just missed it last year. Tua had his red shirt year last year. He had his learning year. This is the year, because they didn't trade for Deshaun Watson. This is the year he's expected to perform well. Every good Miami play, passing, was Tua taking one or two steps back and getting rid of the football. They do not trust this kid in the pocket. They do not trust him to hold the football any longer than 2 seconds because, as you just saw with that last play, anytime he is asked to hold the football a long time and let a play develop, bad things happen because he gets jumpy, he gets scared, and when the pressure is in his face, he makes mistakes.
And they also don't trust him on third and short, as you saw they bring in Jacoby Brissett a couple times.
Yeah, well, I would do the same thing. Brissett looks like a bodybuilder.
Yes.
But and if I'm I could easily look it up, but he didn't even I can only recall one long run from him. So it's
he's good in the read option, he's good with sleight of hand, that kind of stuff. He's good. How many there were at least 3 or 4 times where that quick slant went for 10, yes, 15, 20 yards.
Yeah. Well, cuz he's got such weapons.
Yeah, he's got tall wide. They were even missing one. Fuller was suspended. You add them to
missing
them.
Two.
Yeah. So you have good wide receivers. Waddle was good. I mean, you have very good wide receivers.
Waddle's very good. Yeah.
And you have a quarterback who's not that good.
Okay, so he ended up running for 1 yard. He only ran for one like chunk of yardage
right
in that entire game. So it's not like he's even using his feet.
Well, I mean, they want Deshaun Watson. I mean, Watson's going to be on their team.
Regardless, talking about the situation that they have now, which is, I'm with John. I mean, the idea that they just escaped with a win is, I think that's
has nothing to do with Tua. It has more to do with the Patriots' mental mistakes during the game.
Yep.
I would rather have the guy the Patriots have than that guy.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
I'd rather have Mac Jones than Tua, sure.
Well, after the game, J.C. Jackson, I don't know if you saw him or heard his quote, but he was talking about Tua, and they talked about that play right there, and he goes, well, that's what Tua do. He said, if he doesn't have his first read, he's just going to throw the ball up.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's pretty much exactly right.
J.C. Jackson's just a magnet, the luckiest guy in football.
He had a couple legitimately good plays.
Yeah, but he'll have like 9 interceptions like that one. Like where it just pinballs around and it's up in his hands.
Well, yesterday, what everyone truly wanted to see
Didn't he have like 5 million interceptions last year?
Yeah. I think he led the league.
He did, but again, if you have that many interceptions, that means that offenses are looking to throw the football at you.
My point being is that, he's just this magnet for the ball and occasionally will land his hands.
Well, everyone wanted to see how the rookie quarterback would play in his first NFL game after a first series that involved an ill-advised lateral that looked about as ugly as one could imagine. Mac Jones finally settled down and took over.
Second down and goal to go from the 6. Ball splits the hash marks out of the eye. Connor play fake. Jones drops back, looks left, throws it for Aguilar, turns to the inside. Touchdown, Patriots! Woo! It's the first in the career of Mac Jones.
Oh, yes.
By the way, give it up for Aguilar for at least 1 week, because this might be the 1 week he can.
Yeah, it's like every time the ball headed his way, you're like, well, here comes the drop. And sure enough, he had a couple of tough catches.
He did. He hung on to the ball after getting hit. Mm-hmm. Let's give it up to Aguilar today when he deserves it. And then we'll see how the season pans out over the next 16 games.
Now hold your breath.
But but for one game, I mean, Aguilar was a star. The tight ends didn't do nothing. So,
The tight ends were pretty good.
I thought Jonnu Smith was good. I thought Hunter Henry made a couple of nice catches late.
They did, but the offense wasn't run through them the way that you thought it would be.
It was a nice tease to the double tight end set.
Jonnu Smith had 5 catches for 42 yards. Hunter Henry had 3 catches for 31 yards.
And they were
let's not go crazy.
I think tight ends all of last year had 19 catches. They had 8 yesterday. I'll take it.
Yeah, right. It's a budding flower.
All right. First of all,
I'm with you, John. Whoa, they're being involved.
Quit moving the goalposts here, guys. If you went into that game, you would not have thought Aguilar was going
That's
to
fair.
Be.
That's fair.
No, right. I think we were all surprised by anything from Aguilar. Course, yeah, no question.
I mean, we're kind of poo-pooing my comments out of hand here. I didn't say what I said was correct. The tight ends really didn't do anything. Aguilar...
I'll disagree on that. I thought they did. I thought that they were
important.
What did
they do?
Well, I mean, I thought that there were a couple of tough passes that they got. It was good seeing Hunter Henry involved. I thought they were fairly big plays, despite the yardage only being, what, you said 42 yards?
See, I'm a little different than you. I just wanted the tight ends to be involved. And they were.
And they were.
Now, we were sold that these two tight ends are going to be a security blanket, first for Cam Newton and when he was cut, then for Mac Jones. These are your two top free agent signings on offense. I mean, Aguilar may get paid more, but these are the guys that we're going to be dependent upon. And in that regard, Fred is right. Aguilar is more part of the offense than the tight ends were, and that was a little bit of a surprise.
Well, when we get back, we are going to hear some pretty fantastic Zogasms. Do you think that Zolak was a little excited that maybe making a comparison from Mac Jones to a potential guy who used to play here? You think that he might have shown a little bit of restraint?
Here we go.
We will get to that, and we'll also talk to Mac Jones. Boy, he couldn't be more of a Patriot already. Post-game press conference, that dude has got it nailed.
All it took was one thing he did during the game yesterday, and now he's a Patriot for life.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely nailed it.
He doesn't want any sentimentality.
No.
That guy.
He's not about that. He's about wins. That's what he's about.
That's right. Unlike the fan base.
That's right. Exactly.
Which is no longer. This is smelling a lot like normal football around here. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
But you're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Four-man rush. Mac moves up. Fires down the middle. Aguilar makes the catch and takes a hit. At the 25 of Miami. What a strike. A dagger from Jones.
No question about arm strike right there.
They play Jonesy.
I mean, it sounded like somebody, like, stomped on Zolak's foot. Listen to this right here.
Four-man rush. Mac moves up. Fires down the middle. Aguilar makes the catch and takes a hit.
He got punched in the balls there.
Oh, right. Yeah. That is like whenever you, when you were, like, a kid and somebody got tapped in the nuts. Like, oh!
Yep.
Or the boss hog, as Dan O'Brien just said. That's exactly right.
That's right.
All right, we're Toucher and Rich. And
yep.
The Patriots played yesterday, and they lost in unpatriots-like fashion, but people are very excited because of the way that Mac Jones played.
So he completed about 75% of his passes. He had 281 yards, a touchdown, obviously, but I think one of the most impressive things, I don't know if you guys agree, is that, I mean, the guy just stood in the pocket. He took some hard hits. He had about four 20-plus yard passes that looked like it ended with him just getting destroyed. Now, that's not something that's sustainable, and hopefully he'll learn how to be able to avoid those type of hits.
But the thing was, he did. I mean, there were times where he improvised, dodged out of pressure, created some space and more time for his receivers to get open downfield. And we were talking about Tua earlier in the hour. Tua has no idea what to do when defenders are in his face. This kid stands in there. He knows he's going to get whacked and still delivers the ball where it needs to go.
Yeah.
And he showed arm strength, the play we were just talking about. You know, he steps up in the pocket and drilled a strike, what, 20, 25 yards downfield to Aguilar?
Yep.
I mean,
I can't believe Aguilar held on to that. That was a great catch.
Remember, before the draft, Fred, people were comparing this kid's arm strength to Chad Pennington. I mean,
right.
I think what we saw yesterday, this kid can throw the ball, he can take a hit, and he can avoid pressure. Now, he's not going to run away from anyone, but he's still able to maneuver around to deliver the ball when he has to.
Well, one of the,
a lot of positives.
One of the best positives was, or one of the best passes yesterday was the one to James White. I thought that was a perfect pass right in his hands.
Shotgun snap from the Pats 29. Jones stands and throws down the right side for White. Oh! Drops it in the basket. Makes the catch along the far sideline. Stepping out of bounds at the Dolphin 45.
Remind you of anything?
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Stop.
Dude,
stop. We should have placed bets. We should have placed bets into how long it was going to be. What game?
Dude, they put up 16 points. Of course. I mean, he was surgical. I mean, their red zone offense was outstanding.
Yeah.
It was just like Brady.
It was just like him. The Patriots had 14-play drives yesterday.
Oh,
all three ended in field goals, unfortunately.
Been here before.
They didn't have a single three and out and only punted twice, so that was nice. But despite the loss, it was a good debut for Mac Jones. Here's what he had to say afterwards. Take it away, Mac.
Yeah, I mean, that's something Josh told me, just
enjoy the day. He'll never play a rookie year opening game again, but that's not how I wanted to go. So, yeah.
Well, after his first touchdown in the NFL, we saw this. Nelson Agholor tried to give Mac the ball to keep it as a souvenir. They played a little hot potato. Mac didn't want it, and he eventually gave it to Brian Hoyer. And he's like, okay. He was asked afterwards.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, sure.
Keep paying me.
He was asked afterwards why he kept refusing the game ball.
Because, I mean, that doesn't really matter. It was, you know, one touchdown. We got to score more. But it's not like the game was over right there. But, I mean, we got to do better in the red zone and get more touchdowns, and we will.
That is the sound of Bill Belichick grabbing some Kleenex and smoking a cigarette. This guy already has mastered the Patriots media playbook, hasn't he? You know, just one game at a time, just all about the team. He's going to be a good quarterback in this league, but also carrying on the tradition, one of the worst interviews in sports. You can tell immediately that this guy he's just as laid back. I thought about it, and maybe it was you, John, who mentioned this, because I said last week that he just seems high whenever he talks. And I don't know if it was you or somebody else who said he's got that weird aloofness that Joe Montana had.
It was me.
It was you. Okay. It was a great comparison. You nailed it, because it makes me think of that story where in the Super Bowl, the famous one, where they're all in the huddle and he goes, hey, you see John Candy in the stands over there? And then he ends up going and driving him down the field with 34 seconds left to win the Super Bowl. That's just kind of, and from what I've heard, is that he has, since a young age, because you know he's had access to all of these great coaches ever since he was young. The other thing that I guess his family really stressed and spent money on was his therapy.
I talked about this last week. Is that, yeah? And he was doing breathing exercises.
Yeah.
On the he was controlling his breath when he was talking to McDaniels on the sidelines. I talked about this last week. Is, yeah, his family from when he was 11 had him working with guys who work with pro quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and was teaching him. And I used the example that Ray Kroft had about Swayman, young goaltender for the Bruins, about how these guys are so much more mentally prepared, and you know, they're all get into meditative states and everything like that. So he's as advertised. I mean, he's got a good offensive line. He is got people to throw to.
He's accurate.
He's in a good situation.
Yep.
But I mean, this isn't a great team. I mean, this is a game that Brady wins. So enough with the Brady comparisons. It was his first game in the NFL. I thought he played well, and I thought he showed well.
Well, he's also, the one thing you can say about yesterday's game is, you know, if you're a Patriots fan and you were just watching to see what Mac Jones is going to be, you're feeling pretty good. But that's a game the Patriots had to win. You had to win that. I mean, that was your game. It was in hand. It was an important game. And on top of that, all of a sudden, things are looking a little tougher. Look what the Saints did yesterday. You got them in 2 weeks. So that's not going to be any kind of walk in the park.
Which I never thought it was.
On top of that, Fred, you had your division, you know, I mean, you would be on the top of your division this morning, right? Obviously. The Bills and the Blues.
You lost a divisional game at home, which is very, very hard. And you lost a game because you were sloppy.
Yep, and it was your fault. It was a self-inflicted loss.
You lost against a bad quarterback. And the thing is that fans have got to make up their minds. Is this the team going to the Super Bowl and, you know, challenging? And once you get into the playoffs, who knows? Or is this a team where you're willing to take the growing pains? And because they didn't build like a team willing to take the growing pains. They didn't win. They didn't build like a team for moral victories. They, in the offseason, they built for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So thank you, Rich. You make a great point. At the end of the day, this is a terrible loss at home.
You got to win that. You got to win it.
Yes.
And it's okay to feel good about Mac Jones, but you, yes, should feel bad about that loss.
Thank you. And that's exactly right. And so everyone's got to get their story straight now. Are we watching games to see the progression of Mac Jones? Which is fine. But then you have to agree with me that they screwed up in the offseason by spending all that money and building the way they built. Now,
I just don't think they were ready to play. I don't think it had to do with the players.
No,
think about the people that they brought in.
But
offensively, most of them did their job.
Here's the deal. It doesn't matter if you lose. because you could have gotten, because if you're going to lose games, it doesn't matter how you lose them.
You're saying the money was in the wrong place.
No, I'm saying that you could have gotten future assets and gotten younger instead of spending a lot of money on veteran players.
But here's why I don't feel too bad, though, Fred, is I think that the mistakes yesterday are correctable.
That's fine.
I think and that's that the turnovers fine. And the discipline but are something that you can get better with.
Of course you can. But the thing is that you made the point, which is correct, that I'll start over. If you're willing to take the growing pains and losses like this, and you're willing to watch the games and say, all right, Mac Jones played well, but they lost, that's okay, then you should be on the page of they should have gotten younger, acquired more future assets, and along these lines. But if you're taking this loss hard this morning, that means that you're on the Belichick plan that this is a playoff team, and once you get into the playoffs, who knows what happens. So people got to make up their minds, because there's a lot of conflicting press out there. A lot of people kind of contradicting themselves, in my opinion. Yes, John?
Ideally, you'd like both. Ideally, you'd like this kid to grow and suffer through his growing pains the first month or two of the season, and then be ready when the games really do matter and you're pushing for the playoffs and he's at top speed. That's probably not going to happen. I'm not kidding myself, but I'm in the first category. I never expected this club. I expected a 9-8 season, maybe 10-7, which is borderline playoffs, that third wild card.
As did I.
So yep. I'm looking at this, and yeah, they lost, and yeah, it sucks, and yeah, it probably was self-inflicted. They should have won the game. And Damian Harris, they were going in. They probably would have won. You're expecting Tua to lead a 2-minute drive down the field to win a game for you? Not a chance. Patriots would have stopped him, and they should have won the game. But Mac Jones, for a first game in the NFL with live bullets, considering he didn't face a lot of starters in the preseason, he looked great.
He looked very good, and no one's saying he didn't. The point is that they lost the game.
But that's what I'm taking from this.
Okay, so then you should be in the camp of why they spent all that money.
Yeah, it was a little curious.
All right, thank you.
It was a little curious.
All right, well, you've always been that way, so there you go.
Well, did you hear in the broadcast yesterday them talking about the money that they spent and what Bill Belichick's answer was? He was saying, well, it was pretty much dead money anyway in this offseason. Basically, it's like as if they were the only ones who had that money and it had to be spent. So it's almost like he was justifying, like almost like tempering your expectations.
Oh, just like how they released the information that the 49ers were petrified that they were going to trade him to get Mac Jones.
Should we talk about that now? God. Because I'm going to talk about that all morning, because that story is hysterical.
Unbelievable. Yes.
Now, by the way, this is nothing new. This is stuff that was floated out there at the beginning during the draft as well. But Schefter came out with this like weird story over the weekend that I don't even know why you release it. And he said that one of the many reasons the San Francisco 49ers traded up their third overall spot in this year's draft was their belief that the New England Patriots could trade up to number 3 and beat them to Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. This is, once again, a big scoop he came out with. San Francisco wanted to position itself to select a quarterback for the future and believed there were multiple worthy candidates, but the 49ers were also concerned that the Patriots would leapfrog them in the draft and position themselves to select Jones before the 49ers could. Now, he talked about how the 49ers considered the relationship between Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, and they thought that there was going to be proper legwork that was done. But they also apparently said that I guess San Francisco ultimately decided Trey Lance was their preferred quarterback, and so Jones ended up with the Patriots anyway. Here's the only thing. Now, you can speculate as to why that story got out there and who leaked it out there. If the Patriots leaked it, why'd you do that? People are already excited about Mac Jones here.
Exactly.
Did you do that to try to get the hype up for Mac Jones?
I mean, Why would you do that? People love this kid. 90% of the Patriot fan base wanted this kid to start at quarterback. Yes. Maybe more than that.
So
you already won. There's no reason to leak this story to anyone. It's silly.
Here's the only thing I can think of about this story that makes any kind of sense. And that is that the 49ers at the time, not now, not the one that came out this weekend, but when that story came out at the time, that the 49ers might have floated that out there knowing the Patriots wanted Mac Jones, because what that might do was force the Patriots into trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the only kind of rationale I can think of for that being floated out at the time. But the resurgence of this story, now that all of the drafting is done and the players are ready to play,
there's no reason to do this.
Who placed that story? Who called Adam Schefter and wanted that to get out into the world. I don't really get any of that.
He lives in Foxborough. That's who leaked that story to Adam Schefter.
Why would Bill Belichick do that?
Because I don't know. He seems hell bent on justifying the free agent spending, and you know, you could have traded Stephon Gilmore and gotten something back for him instead of just having him sit out there on the pup list. You could have done a bunch of stuff. Again, you could have done stuff differently last year, taking your lumps a little bit this year, and then challenged for a Super Bowl next year. They decided not to do that, and he seems hell-bent on justifying it any way he can. I mean, you lucked out. You sat at 15. The quarterback fell to you, and he looked good yesterday. And I don't know why they want this narrative out there. And as long as we've done this, 16 years now, I mean, it's 20 hours a week for 16 years, which requires some preparation. I mean, we know kind of how the operation works. We kind of know how the media works. And this is, I mean, Schefter doesn't invent these things. They're put out there for a reason.
I just don't know.
To influence public perception, and I don't understand it either.
Dude, have you seen, like, I mean, people are showing up to the game yesterday with Massachusetts shirts, which, by the way, is cringe-inducing.
I think it's really fun.
But people, I mean, people love, they want this guy to win.
Yes.
I mean, everyone, listen, we've said it before, you don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy. You want to be the guy that replaces the guy that replaced the guy.
Exactly.
So he already had a leg up as far as public perception was concerned. On top of that, he had a really good preseason. People, like, for football reasons, started to like this guy.
He won the starting job. Every writer thought he was the best player, and every guy that was out there every day thought he was the best player in camp. And then, so they didn't need to leak this story.
It just seemed weird.
Yeah, you have a disaster going on in Jacksonville. Wilson doesn't have an offensive line. Trey Lance isn't starting, and Fields is buying his time right now. So, I mean, you have the kid that's going to be the best this year.
Yeah.
I mean, Mac Jones is going to be the best rookie quarterback this year. He is. And he's got the best opportunity.
He's been put in the best position to win. Yeah,
of course he has.
Or succeed,
by quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so, my God. I mean, Jacksonville's just a disaster.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, they've got, didn't they lose another lineman yesterday, the Jets?
Yeah, good.
Like starting left tackle, Becton got carded.
Oh, man. Didn't he get put down, like Zach Wilson get put down like six times yesterday?
He was pressured on 60% of his passes.
Jeez, man. I mean, that's, I don't care who you are, what team it is. That sucks for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're in a crisis right now with their offensive line. So it goes back to the point. Again, Patriots fans, I'm telling you, Mac Jones is going to have the best year. That's the truth. I don't know why there has to be this spin on it. He's obviously not overly confident. For once, it seems like Belichick and the Patriots aren't completely sold on what they did.
Like, did he think there was, like, maybe Belichick truly doesn't listen to what people are saying? Because maybe in his mind, he thought there was going to be some massive backlash
when
they released Cam Newton.
Well, we know that's not true. We know he listens to everything everyone's saying.
He collects all of the talk and prints it out and shows it to the team.
And
like
that
locker room material is a real thing to Bill Belichick.
And if you think we're lying about it, well,
talk to ex-players, including Ted Johnson, who's about to come in.
30, 40, 50 ex-players, 50 ex-players from the Patriots we talked to.
Yeah.
And it's true. Unless they all got together in a secret club from
different eras. Here's how we get Bill.
Yeah, we're all going to lie about it. I mean, they do.
But that was the kickoff to a fascinating season that we're going to be getting.
Yeah, it's
going to
be a great season.
It is. Yeah. It's going to be wildly entertaining, and it's going to be up and down, and just temper your expectations. You know what? If you had the regular expectations that you should have had, yesterday is probably to be expected. They should have won it. But at least you aren't somebody who writes for the Globe who thought they were going to the Super Bowl this year.
Well, if you thought they were going to the Super Bowl, that's a tough loss. That's a divisional loss at home, which is not good in any circumstance. And that's a game they win in the golden age. I mean, that's a game they win in the golden age. I mean, you know, Mac Jones, Jacoby Myers, he missed him on a third down. We could have swung that. And then, of course, the fumble. There were some mistakes that wouldn't have happened, but again, he's not Tom Brady. Okay? So we'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.